Dear listeners, Sai Ram. Welcome to our weekly series, Tryst with Divinity. In this series, we bring you conversations with devotees of Bhagwan Baba. Well known in the Sai family and in the legal fraternity of Mumbai, this husband and wife team have dedicated their life to serving their personal God, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Where and how did their spiritual journey begin? What motivates them to stay on course and dedicate their love, talent, time and devotion at the lotus feet of their beloved master? From teaching Bal Vikas to serving the state and national Sai organization at various levels, the twosome come as a package, standing by each other to serve a cause that they realize is way bigger than their combined vision. Many Sai youth and devotees look up to this team as their role models. Radio Sai is pleased to bring you a three-part conversation with Mrs. Kamala Pandya and Mr. Nimish Pandya of Mumbai. Today, we bring you its concluding part, and this was recorded in our studios of Radio Sai on August 2012. And in conversation with them is Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi.
So when you look back at this long journey together that you've been instruments in his hand, what are some of the greatest life lessons you both have received from Swami?
Just live and let his will prevail. To certain extent, somebody will say that, oh, that's non-challenging, that's boring. You just have to think of it and he lets it happen if it is good for you. So always leave it to him. Swami, if you think it's right, do it for us.
What about if you're going through a really difficult time in your life?
I went through it. I mean, for 20 years I suffered a lot. He told me that I suffered.
The doctor told me I suffered.
But I didn't feel the suffering.
You didn't feel it?
No, in fact the doctor got shocked. You intelligent girl, how did you manage all this? And I had discomfort, I had trouble, but there had no pain.
Mm-hmm. So, no, but if somebody is going through a really difficult time, lot of challenges, sometimes they come crashing at you, how would you see Swami's will prevailing through it all? Sometimes people go through very difficult, lot of difficulties in their personal life.
I think acceptance is a big thing in life.
Acceptance?
You have to accept. Because while you strive to excel, the flip side of that strife is acceptance of the fact that there is a divine will. That will, that praise. The balance between human effort and divine grace and divine will is something that you have to learn to accept in life. Being happy and being satisfied is important. I think I would put the greatest lesson that I have learned from being with Bhagwan is that I'm fundamentally a happy person. I'm fundamentally a peaceful person. I don't want to lose that happiness and peace for any reason whatsoever. Whether it's my wife, whether it's my business, whether it's my money, whether it's my desire. I don't want anything where my bliss and my happiness is lost.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I like the way Swami used to say that, why should you mortgage your happiness to anybody else?
Mm.
I mean, it goes for every relationship, whether it's a husband-wife. Why should the wife mortgage her happiness to me? Or why should a husband mortgage his happiness to the wife? Why should a mother mortgage her happiness to the child? Why should a father mortgage happiness to the son? Why should the employer-employee relationship be, I should be always happy. And that happiness comes from the ability to be at peace. And that peace comes only when you put your conscience into action.
Hmm.
I think that is the true sadhana that's for me. You see, all the prayer, the bhajan, the nagar sankirtan, the seva, the study circle, all these things that Swami has taught us in the organization are all geared towards one thing, which we must understand, is at the end of all this exercise that you do, you should be able to be at peace. You should be able to quieten your mind and you should be able to hear Swami from inside. You cannot afford not to listen to Swami from inside and hope to hear from him outside. It'll never happen. It happened for 80 years as grace on mankind. But now we come back to real brass tacks. The voice of Swami will always come from inside. The organizational activities, the sadhana that Swami has given us must be practiced to be able to hear that voice. And that voice will always make you happy. It'll never make you sad.
Mm-hmm.
You lose somebody physically, you lose your wife, husband, mother, father, you lose money, you don't get your desire fulfilled, your expectation doesn't get fulfilled. All this will not bother you if fundamentally you choose to be happy all the time. I don't want to be unhappy. I don't want to experience lack of peace. Something happens, it is my mind that draws me to that illness. And therefore, I must digress here, because out of all the dramas that I've done till today, maximum I've done on the mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the factor that keeps you away from Swami. That is the factor that takes you away from Swami's love. And if you control this mind, then the conscience takes over completely, and then there is no problem in life. Whether you're sitting on the footpath and eating a chapati, or you're in a five-star restaurant having a dinner, both will be equally happy for you. Now that equanimity is important. The ability to be peaceful both in happiness and sorrow is important. Now this will come only to a person who makes it a goal of his life. There cannot be two ways. I cannot say I love Swami and not do what Swami is saying.
I think that's
because
where
that
the
dichotomy
problem,
is going to make me more than happy.
That's where the problem arises.
That's the fundamental reason. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all of us who are finding ourselves in an unhappy situation or finding ourselves in a depressed situation is because we profess love to him, but we don't practice what he says.
Yeah, because not two ways. Just one way.
You can't be riding two horses.
So if you believe, if you decide not to follow Swami totally, then you must face the vagaries of life. Then you'll be tossed like a football. You'll be up, you'll be down. Take a chance, be adventurous, do what you like. But if you want to get out of that, then you have to follow Swami completely. Have faith in what Swami says. Having faith in his message is important, I think. That's where we will have to all strive to achieve our excellence in. Mm-hmm. You see? Having faith in what Swami has said.
And I guess if somebody is going through a period of a lot of obstacles and disappointments, you have to accept it as his will.
Because they are all born out of expectations.
You see,
I expect that I must get this job. I expect this, I must get... I expect that, no, this man is not being just to me. I have done this to him, but he doesn't do this to me. And therefore, one of the best things that has impacted me in my life from Swami's earlier life is the first quotation I came across is when I got this quotation when Swami said, the first picture I got of Swami was with a quotation. Forget all the harm that others have done to you. And forget all the good that you've
done
to others.
Yes.
Now, this has been a tremendous anchor for me in life. Because all problems are arising out of this. And all get dissolved if you follow this. You see, that's the biggest issue. You know? If you don't do this, it cannot happen. Because less luggage, more comfort is a quotation we all clapped on when Swami said. But what does it mean? It only means the luggage in the mind. No? I'm not able to forget all the good that I've done to others.
Yeah.
And I can't forget the harm that others have done to me. But the moment I do this, I'm a king.
Yeah. Everything drops by the wayside. All that anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay. Do you both argue with each other?
No, yeah, argue.
I'm the one who argues the most.
Arguments, I can never win with her. That's not about it.
So we know who's the better of the two lawyers.
Absolutely not. The gold medalist is the better lawyer. I have to draw from Swami's grace against Swami.
And Swami keeps telling both.
You argue a lot. You argue a lot.
But it's necessary. I feel if we don't speak it out, it'll be worse.
I think it is always
good to
express.
Keeping everything in the heart is not correct.
You must express yourself.
What is the purpose of living together if you cannot express? I mean, I have to, because he's quite vague about certain things and he doesn't realize some things. So I have to draw his attention to it. So, oh, did it happen? I didn't even realize. And suppose a woman is more particular.
There is a micro and a macro issue, you know. There is a micro and a macro issue.
She's a perfectionist.
Yes. So,
and even if somebody's flicker of the eye, there is something wrong, I can make out. You know, I mean, I immediately go on the alert.
And Swami used to always add on to that fire. He always had fuel for this fire. I remember the earlier years, she was on the National Board of Education and all the ladies got called to Uti. So, the moment they all went to Uti, Swami rubbed it into her. Her husband, very jealous that I didn't call him and he called you and I called you also. And then constantly the rhetoric would be with him that, you better tell him. Your husband is not listening to me.
Yeah.
And all the Ashadi plays. Swami is a perfectionist.
Yeah.
And he would go and find mistakes with all the costumes we make and everything we would do. And
that time it was a voice recording that the buffalo's lip syncing was not with the Vedas.
And then he would go and tell him.
He came back to me in the Kulwant Hall and said,
"You didn't come there
for the practice." I said, "No, Swami, all boys are there. I'm with a girl."
Okay, I saw your husband there. He's supervising the practice. But the voice is not matching.
So some buffalo was chanting Vedas.
And the buffalo's mouth was not opening with
the
matching.
The lip-sync was not happening.
You tell. He doesn't listen to me. You tell him.
telling me to tell him, you know, that make the child practice opening the mouth correctly.
To match the Vedas.
I take it as rivalry between two directors, you know. He was a superior director. He would always find fault with me, whatever I did. I only got kudos one. When the one drama which happened was something very nice, and
which one?
Swami called me. It was called the Supreme Judgment.
Achha. Was it about the animals and
No, this was about
the two court cases. The two court cases where one, there is a court of the
Advaita
duality, the duality court.
Yes, I remember.
Convicting the Advaita chap, and the Advaita court convicting the duality chap. At the end of it, there is a jury of Ramanujacharya, Shankaracharya, all of them, and then there was the jury of all the saints.
Mm-hmm.
And none of them can answer the question of what it is. And then ultimately they say, let us leave it to Bhagavan, because it is his message which is important. And it came down to that. And then that time I was very happy. He called me on the portico.
Well done.
Yes, very nice.
So
only once I got a final. My award came only once, and after a lot of attempts. I was very happy. He was always looking forward to. My greatest joy with Ashadi was that you should look forward to it.
Yes.
Look forward to it.
And as did the devotees.
And
the
it was a great. And I think I've. Whatever I have learned in Sai's philosophy, I have learned through Ashadi dramas. And
how did you do them? You had children from different parts of Maharashtra, Goa, all coming together.
We had a lot of teamwork.
I had a great teamwork.
We had. In 4 weeks, because to get children for Sunday.
No, for sure, that his promptings are always there. I always wondered why he allowed me to do so many dramas. Actually, look at his grace. Look at Swami's love for every human being, for all of us, that he fulfills every desire of ours. You know, I remember I didn't want to become a lawyer. I wanted to become an actor. Mm-hmm. I remember the year was 1969-70. I just passed off my SSC. I got brilliant marks. I didn't want to join Science Arts College. And that was the year when the Film and Television Institute of India started in Pune.
Pune, yes.
I filled up my form. I wanted to become an actor. But my father was very anti my becoming an actor. Now, there was a great tussle that started between my father and myself. And he wanted me to become a lawyer and I didn't want to become a lawyer.
And your dad was a lawyer himself.
Yeah, he was a lawyer. We're all a family of lawyers. Mm. But somewhere down the line, having a soft heart, I didn't want to disappoint my father. So I used to go to college and pay my term. But I was a very unhappy man. In fact, those were my very sad years of my life, just before I met Swami, those 3-4 years in college, where I went a little haywire also in my persona. But when I met Swami, I found some solace and I was a happy man thereafter. But there also things were not easy, because my father had a better of me with Swami. So he went and told Swami one day, Swami, this boy is not becoming a lawyer. And Swami picked it up. He said, Kyo, why don't you become a lawyer? I said, Swami, why are you starting it now? I'm just handling all this with my father and I don't want you to start all this again. But he persisted. So now it became that I would like us to argue with my father. I started arguing with Swami. I said, no, Swami, it's very boring. What a useless profession it is. I've seen my father struggle and I don't want to study. No, no, you become a lawyer. Then I took the other exam. Swami, you said lawyers are liars. No, no, you don't worry, become a lawyer. Swami, you hate me so much, 7th generation. No, no, don't worry, your generation. So I said, I'm getting caught in this all this situation. What is wrong? And he says, then I took the last bet. I said, Swami, it's such a boring subject. Swami, you don't know. Even if you read, you will not like it. Swami, it's very boring. He says, and those days are days when the awe of Swami's divinity had not really sunk. So more like friendship. Those are the years when Swami is the friend, kind of. Sometimes, Swami, it's boring, I'm studying so much, I can't remember a word of what I'm reading, I don't know. It's boring. You read, I will remember for you.
Oh, wow. Something nice arrangement.
So I'm saying, Swami, what's wrong with you? I can never forget. I mean, so all my efforts to get out of that situation didn't work. and I had to give my exam. This conversation which I had with Swami when you study was the last of my final year. I used to do 80-80. You know, allowed to keep terms where you fail in 2-3 papers, you pass in 2-3 papers, again appear in October. And they used to go on, and I used to be on the stage in my college doing dramas and all. So ultimately the last exam was my criminology. My specialization was in crime. And I didn't have the textbook, I didn't have the books, I had not studied, I had not even gone to college. I was worried that my attendance also would not have given me a seat. But Swami had said, told my father,
do not worry, he will become a lawyer in June.
So what's wrong with these people? I don't understand. I don't have a book, I am not studying, and how can I become a lawyer and all that? So in my mind I'm telling Swami, Swami, people say your word comes true, but this one time I'm sorry, I'm going to be instrumental in proving that your word doesn't come true. I didn't do the book. I went to the exam just out of sheer respect for Swami and my father. I went to the examination all sat down. The question paper comes and I don't know anything because obviously I've not studied, so I don't know anything. So I'm smiling instead of feeling bad. Smiling, Swami, what are you going to do now, Dad? What are you going to do now? That kind of situation. So, but I was a little ashamed to leave the examination hall immediately. So I sat down for 15 minutes. I let some time go, then I'll slip off. But after 15-20 minutes, I pick up the question paper. And I see the questions again. And I see all this, Karuna. Out of 14-15 questions, there were around 10-11 questions, which are all based on the fact why there is increase in crime amongst children and women in India. Why there is an increase in delinquency amongst children and women in India.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not the law that I know. But being a keen follower of Swami's message, I remember a discourse that Swami gave on family as a unit of society. That if the family is a strong unit, then the mother is taken care of, the child is taken care of, the woman as a sister, a woman as a wife, all protects everybody, the family protects, therefore there is no crime. And in the West, when the family unit breaks down, everybody gets exposed, so that there is more crime. And that's what's happening to Indian society now. So I wrote that discourse in many, many ways in the paper. And I passed.
Wow.
So the rhetoric was when I came with Dekha, Tum nahi padha, phir bhi main yaad kiya. So the law of contract for the first time. And I became a lawyer. But he knew my heart was not in becoming a lawyer. My heart was in drama.
So he gave you a lifelong,
lifelong opportunity to perform drama with children right through the years thereafter. Not a single year I missed thereafter.
So you have it both ways. You had it
both ways. I became a good lawyer, though I am not. I always believe she's a better lawyer than me. I know I'm not a good lawyer because I never studied law. I have learned online. But intuition.
You're a Wikipedia lawyer.
The gift of intuition that Swami gave me made me a very good lawyer. And I'm proud of the fact that I'm an intuitive lawyer and not an intellectual lawyer. That's something which I believe because intuition is a far greater gift of sight
than
intellect.
And I'm extremely jealous of the arrangement you had that you read and Swami remembered. That's a nice, easy way to study. Oh.
And that was the way he helped me out with my...
And you winged it by reproducing Divine Discourse in your criminology paper.
So the adage that you can't eat your cake and have it also has been proved wrong in my case. That the divine grace is there. You can eat your cake and also have it at the same time.
And a really nice Black Forest for that.
And the cherry
on top.
With a cherry on top of that, yes.
Yes, absolutely. You know, you saw me came to Mumbai so many times and you were so involved in all these visits. Tell our listeners, share with them some of your fondest memories of interacting with Swami. Anything big or small that comes to mind.
Yeah, it was the 11th of May, 1983.
Mm-hmm.
And we had the EHV building, the foundation stone laying ceremony. And Swami came in the morning and the Balvikas children were performing in the school, Satya Sai Dharma Kshetra school children were performing. It was hot sun and Swami got upset that the children were exposed to the heat and he fired him and told him, stop the thing. And when passing by me, he asked me,
where's your husband? Is he coming? Coming on a horse or on an ant?
He said something and went in. We had a meeting of all the EHV faculty members and I saw Swami firing him, so I kept, and then we just, that yes, no period was going on. So when we went up to the Satyadeep hall, Swami came down the staircase and I was seated right behind. I didn't push myself, right at the, it's a very small, it's like a room like this size. And Swami from the back of the room, from the door, comes out and says,
"How are you, Bombay Balvikas?"
From there, so I started crying. He said, by the time he had come to me and said,
"Where is father?"
So I said, "Swami, you know, and father can't come. All the creditors are after him."
"How can it be like that?"
"Father wants to come." I said, "You know, Swami." So he turned to Indulal Shah and said, "Indulal,
Indulal, today is 11th, Wednesday. Tomorrow, we are going to Borivali. On Friday, 13th May, bring your mother and father. Swami will speak."
And that was the day we went, on 13th of May, which is supposed to be the Friday.
Friday, 13th, yeah.
And then I said, "Swami, but the creditors are threatening to kill my father." He turned back and told Indulal, "The car will not wait down.
The car will come up directly.
Don't allow the car to stop down." So we had a blanket permission to just walk. And we went at 3, gave the time some 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We, by 2:15, we were all waiting like Swami would come up. He came out from his room that time. He used to stay above.
So you mean the car would drive up the driveway of Dharmakshetra straight to his residence, so people could not see you on the...
Because he used to go from his room to Anand Kutir for interviews, for lunch, tea, dinner. There's a small little aisle where he used to walk across. And on the way, he would talk to people. So we were seated over there. And Swami came like a bullet straight to my father, me and my mother seated and said,
"How are you?
Money comes and goes. You have not cheated anybody. So why are you worried? So worry about her. Now it is time to get her married." So my father turned around and says, "Swami, we have not even 1 rupee to get her married." So he says, "Why are you worried? I will get money. Don't worry. Get her married fast." That is the scene that changed the entire life. And he told my mother,
"How much you worry? Swami's every word is a promise, mother. Every single word. He'll give you the same word."
Like that he would talk and he rubbed Vibhuti on her eye. So it was a very memorable moment that from amongst the...
And so reassuring.
Yeah, and then from that day, everything started triggering. He kept telling me, that I'm telling them that I've given the girl side has come. I've told them, "You all are not asking, so I can't tell you. The girl side, I'm doing everything." He told me, "Don't worry, everything I will do." So we went without anything. We came here on the 5th of June without a sari, without a ring, without anything. Because that time there was no money. One band of earrings I had, and that was it. And 60 rupees for the train ticket we spent, and we came per person.
No, but Dharmakshetra was a very interesting situation because that's a place where I've always found Swami very excited, very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Swami used to be very, very excited in Dharmakshetra about everything that used to happen. I remember his childlike innocence many years ago when he came. There was this public meeting in the Shanmukhananda Hall, which is a very huge auditorium in Bombay.
Yeah,
and all the municipal corporation teachers. And he was going to give a discourse there to the teachers, and I was the master of ceremonies. And I was the master of ceremonies there, so the speech went off. And everybody was very happy. So the evening, in the darshan time when he comes, the Dharmakshetra, when he comes for darshan, he has to come down a flight of stairs, and the curtain opens. And came hipping, scopping like a young kid who comes down the staircase, he came running and says, "Came to me, Devish."
"How did I speak?"
So I was standing here for a moment because Swami comes in.
"How did I speak?"
I said, "Swami,
you spoke very well. See, I spoke in such a way that all teachers will change overnight."
Oh my God.
He was so excited about education and about transforming.
And he wanted your feedback.
And he wanted my feedback.
How his speech went.
Imagine Swami behaving so...
childlike.
In childlike,
so enthusiastic.
I was taken aback for a moment. Mm. I said, "Swami, fantastic! It was superb, And it was a really beautiful speech. But and he was happy. He wanted the reassurance that I had given the speech very well, And that was a great feeling. And he should be very happy with our Balvikas programs in the, if you've seen Satyadeep, there are lawns outside.
I've seen it on pictures.
In the green lawns, 3,000 children used to sit there.
We used to have question answer
sessions.
Swami
used to participate.
One child getting up from here, one child getting up from
there. He used to wonder where the child is getting up. So there's one child getting up from here, the other answering from there, the third getting up, the fourth answering. So he used to love that ambience and the atmosphere. In fact, he loved it so much that I remember a few years ago, 3 years ago before his leaving his physical form, Mr. Ratnakar coming and asking me. He said, Swami is asking to ask you, when will you do that question answer session again? You know, I mean, he was remembering that like a long time, you know. I said, no, we'll do it very fast. Unfortunately, we didn't get a chance to do it. But he remembered that very much. And it was on one such occasion that he gave Kamala and I a very big lesson of our life also. And that was not only for me and Kamala, but it was for all Balvikas gurus all over the world. It was this function got over, and I was just arranging everything. Swami was about to enter the guest house to go for his breakfast, and he turned at the gate and said, he asked for me. So I went in running, and there were a lot of big shots, all the big devotees, the so-called senior devotees standing, and I'm standing in front of Bhagwan. It's a public interview kind of a situation where everybody's listening. Mm-hmm. And he turned around asking me, he says,
how many kids do you have?
So there was just 2-3 years of marriage and we didn't have children.
So I said, Swami knows that I don't have children.
So I'm saying, Swami, you know I don't have children.
How many kids do you have?
How many children do you have? I said, Swami, you know I don't have children. So I'm arguing with Swami, everybody's standing. He said, he went on to a crescendo to that extent. And then he says, why? These 3,000 children are not yours?
Oh,
and that
huge.
Was a shocker for me. And it was like an exam which was...
You flunked very badly.
Very badly. I just flunked completely. But then I had to recover myself. Uh-huh. So he made he made the mistake of trying to ensure that I've learned my lesson well. So in the evening he came down on the port on the for darshan time, and before the curtain opened I was standing there.
Nimish, how many kids do you have?
I said, Swami, 3,000.
How many of yours?
Swami, 3,000. How many of yours? Swami, 3,000.
Insist.
He made me repeat it at least an unseen number of times and I learnt my lesson well. That jolly well you understand that all the kids in the world, every Balika's child is your child and not one of them is away from you, was a lesson that he taught me then.
Huge growth spurt in opening your heart.
But Swami, he is so much with us and he is so much one with us, that even a thing like you beg pardon and say sorry to Swami, he doesn't like.
Mm-hmm.
Saying thank you to Swami, he doesn't like, because he believes that he and you are one. So when he and you are one, how can you say thank you and how can you say sorry? I remember one such incident, I was in the interview room with him, along with Dr. Mistry and Indulaj Shah and all of them were there. We were discussing something, organization issues, and suddenly he changed track and came onto my personal family track and inquiring of my father and my younger brother Mayur, who was here. And I thought probably it was a good occasion for me to beg pardon for all the mistakes probably we've ever made in our lives on behalf of the family. And I thought as a family CEO I must ask pardon. And I made the mistake of telling Swami, Kshama karo. Please forgive us, Swami said. And an amazing reply came back from me. He smiled broadly.
Total forgiveness. The whole body is forgiveness.
The whole body.
His whole body is forgiveness.
That was an amazing thing. I just stood there.
In fact,
with tears
at
in my
our
eyes.
Wedding. No, the day before our wedding, when I was alone with Swami.
Yeah.
I said, Swami, I want to talk to you alone. I always have these special nuances.
Yeah, special requests.
Yeah.
What is it? Tell me. Your mother is there on one side and your mother-in-law is there on the other side.
I said, Swami, why are you doing all this for me? I just want to say thank you for all that you are doing.
You don't have to say thank you. You are running my Balvikas. Can I not do this much for you?
That day, there was somebody from Rajasthan, some minister was there in the interview room. Now I forget. And he's asking me,
how many kids are there in the Bombay Balvikas?
So I said, Swami, 1,300. So he's telling the minister,
see, she takes care of my 1,300 kids.
I said, that 1,300 was like the entire Vishwaswarupa had come in front. So he is like all the time wanting to appreciate what you're doing. He just doesn't want you to, you know, feel bad about anything.
So,
really, very
no
loving.
Thank yous, no please forgive me.
No.
We're all one.
Yeah, we're all one. I think that is the amazing part of Swami's love, that he always, in fact, he wanted to be one with us. We kept him away, you know. And I always feel bad. Why did we ever keep him away as something different from us?
Yeah.
When he came on earth to be one with us.
Well,
he wanted
your
to
wife did good on that.
But
she
that was very little and very stealthily would do it when I'm alone.
And what a way is to teach great principles, you know. And two incidents I remember very well. He taught me on how to control the mind was a big issue, that how mind is a obstacle in sadhana and the power of prayer. Two things he taught me very beautifully. My father was a very intelligent lawyer. His memory was like Kamala's, a fantastic memory. And one day he was sitting in the portico and nothing to do. And Swami came and asked him, "Hey, Pandya, what do you want?" So my father doesn't want anything. He's got everything in life. He doesn't have anything to ask. So being an intelligent person, he thought he was a smart chap. He should ask Swami, "Swami, I want moksha." So, "Acha, you want moksha? Come on, let's go inside." So I thought, he said, "Swami, going inside the interview, I'm going to get my moksha inside the interview room." So Swami made him sit down and said, "Acha, okay, tell me, what is your name?" So now, there starts in the interview room a volley of questions and a volley of answers. The volley is going on. Swami asking questions and my father answering. Now, father being an intelligent person with a fantastic memory, he has answers for all the questions on the mundane world. So Swami, what is your name? Where were you born? What is your father's name? What's your mother's name? What's your wife's name? What's your child? It went on and on and on. 100, 200, 300 questions going on. At the end of the crescendo of all the questions, Swami turned, "Itna yaad hai to kaisa moksha milega." If you remember
God.
So much, how will you ever get moksha in life?
You have to forget a lot to get moksha, my God.
So that, it goes back to the quotation I said. Forget all the things. Unless, therefore, the quotation which fits in very well is, forgetting for getting God is the story that I learned from Bhagavan at that point of time.
Love is giving and forgiving.
Self is getting and forgetting. Okay. But this whole dimension, that if you don't empty your mind, you can never achieve anything in life.
And you're going to carry all this baggage of unnecessary trivia in your head.
Whenever I meet youth, whenever I meet devotees, wherever I go and meet people, I tell them, let's not complicate things. God is very simple. Swami is a very, very simple avatar. He's told us, let's learn to forget everything. Can you forget and leave this moment free in life? Then you're a happy person.
Yeah.
If you carry baggage in this moment, you're a dead person. Yeah. Forget it. You'll never be able to enjoy life. You, by the time you realize all this is becoming old, and by the time you realize anything, you'll die also, and you've lost all opportunity. I have another instance about prayer. You see, we all say prayer. Mm. We all pray, but I don't know how many of us really believe that prayer works, you know. Because we always have doubts along with prayer. Even if you're praying to Swami, it works. If it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So you always have this dichotomy about prayer. One day it happened that the Ashadi program got over and there was a kid sitting next to me. And Swami took Aarti and walked into the room and left. And we all know that once Swami goes inside the room and the Aarti is over, he'll never come back and the whole program is over. But moment Swami went inside, this little boy started bawling out, crying loudly. You know how it is in the cycle with Paul. If a kid cries, you are in danger, you know, I mean, with all the seva, all the volunteers pouncing on you from all kinds of situations. And I was no exception. I panicked when this kid started crying.
He was one of the performers.
So I'm crying, "Stop crying, what's wrong with you? I thought he got hurt or he got a cramp or something, what happened?" He said, no. I said, "Tell me what happened, why are you crying? Keep quiet." And I'm looking at all the volunteers who are going to pounce on me.
Father of 3,000 children, not easy.
So then I said, "What's wrong with you? What do you want?" "I want vibhuti from Swami's hands. Swami told me he's going to give me vibhuti from his hands. And I want it right now." I said, "Gosh, what's wrong with this kid? Swami's gone inside. Aarti is over. Where is Swami going to come back and give me vibhuti?" Now see this. Intelligent mind is playing a trick. And the only objective is to how to keep this kid quiet. So I'm telling him, "Close your eyes and pray. And if you don't close your eyes and don't pray, you will not get it." Now this kid believes me. He closes his eyes and sits down quietly. And I've forgotten him because I'm happy that he's quiet and I'm safe.
And the nuisance is over.
And the nuisance is over. Now my objective is achieved. And I'm busy with the other mundane things of packing things and all this thing. Suddenly there's a flutter and the door opens. Swami walks up out of the room on the portico, comes down, comes straight down the line where we are sitting, coming at me, and look at me, my selfish mind. I'm thinking Swami has come to talk to me, and I'm happy, I'm feeling happy. I'm still oblivious of the fact that this kid is sitting next to me. Swami comes to me, stands right in front of me, and points at the kid, "Wake him up."
Oh, his eyes were still closed.
Yeah, his eyes are closed. That boy is sitting in meditation.
Oh my God.
And moment, then suddenly I realize his presence next to me, and I wake him up. "Get up, son, get up, Swami's come." Opens his eyes and broad smile on the kid's face. Swami looking at him. He's looking at Swami. And Swami is asking, "What do you want?" And the kid nicely says, "Swami, I want vibhuti from your hands." Swami materializes vibhuti and gives it to him. And then the look he gives me and says, you idiot, you didn't believe that prayer works, but it really works.
Mm.
And that was the lesson that I got in my life, that prayer works. A sincere
profound
prayer always reaches the Lord, mm, and have no doubt about it ever in your life. But, as said, pray and learn to accept the best. These are two very starking incidents in my life that I'll never forget. That, and God makes it so simple for you. I mean, what I love about Swami is that the greatest of truths were made very simple.
Absolutely.
And I think we have no business to make it complicated at all now. We should let it be as simple as they are. That's all. I wish we all could succeed in doing and keeping his message as simple as it was rather than make it complicated.
You said you had some other very fond recollections and memories from Swami's visit to Mumbai. The recent one, 2 years ago.
Ah, yes. That was the one which I mentioned in my Guru Purnima talk also.
Yeah.
You see how Swami was only there for our happiness.
Mm.
The year when he came to Bombay was, we all know, and the physical frame was very frail. And Bombay was a very hectic thing. He had come to Hadshi on a long trip, and then he came to Bombay. And Bombay was a very hectic trip. There were millions of people all around, and from one place to the other place, it was very hectic. In fact, that was a trip which was very unique in its way, that he gave Mr. Ratan Tata an interview at 11 o'clock in the night in Dharmakshetra.
Wow.
Which has never happened. Which is, I mean, yeah. Swami having a late night was an amazing story that day. So, but while all this was happening and the trip was going on, we as organizers were getting fired for sort of being so stressful in a program for Swami. And all the elders were really badgering us completely. That you don't care, how can you make programs like this? You don't understand, Swami is not well, Swami is this. So we took all that in our stride, and we were so we then came to see Swami off in Prashantinagar. So the 2 days that we were here, Swami was very graceful to everybody, and then on the day when we were leaving, he was on the portico. So he came to a group of 2-3 or trustees who were there sitting, you know, on the organizing committee. We were all sitting there trying to thank Swami for giving us this opportunity, and Swami came and picked up the story which everybody else was saying, because Swami had this very unique habit of picking up a common topic and, you know, taking it. He said, both hectic program, very hectic program you did for me. I was very tired, and he started all this, you know. So we were all confused. I mean, it is okay to hear from other people, but when it comes from the Lord's mouth, it was a very, very touching and a very, we really felt that we'd done the greatest crime of our lives, you know, by troubling Swami so much. And Swami persisted on that, and he went on.
Same note.
The same note, he persisted. You know, very tired, very hectic. So then, I realized that we are getting cornered, you know, in this situation. I said, instead of saying sorry, Swami, and all that, you know, she said, but Swami, you came after such a long time. I told him, Swami, 10 years gap, you came to Bombay. So many people waiting for you. And I said, then he said, no, but still, it was very hectic and all that. But I said, Swami, everybody else was very happy. And then I said, this still persist. That also didn't appease him. He said, no, Swami, but still very hectic, tired. But Swami, all of us are very happy. We are very happy. Then he turned around and said something in Hindi so beautifully. He said, tum khush, to main khush. If you are happy, then I'm very happy.
Mm.
And that taught me
a lesson. That's what he was all about.
Supreme sacrifice of the highest kind. That for him, his personal happiness, nothing existed like that. His personal joy, his personal sorrow didn't exist. For him, all his life was our happiness, and our joy was the only thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the Master's grace. And imagine, I mean, I thought he was fresh like a flower when he said that.
If you are happy, I am also happy.
Beautiful, that
was. Beautiful, absolutely.
Something of fond memory.
Yeah. Mrs. Pandey, I have a question for you. You're a self-aware professional woman, and you've been a consistent partner in your husband's efforts to serve a higher purpose, which you also share, obviously. Surely you must have made a lot of sacrifices along the way. When you look back, has it been worthwhile?
Yes, it has been. I mean, I got a lot of offers to become a judge, because women judges are very few, the minority. But somehow all this didn't appeal to me. Unless Swami said it, I would not do anything. Though Swami had told me once in the one of the lines, it said, "Kabhi judge banti hai," like that. Mm-hmm. He asked me, and I kept quiet about it. But there were a lot of offers. Monetarily, I might have lost, but it didn't matter to me. As I said, no, for me, The entire thing, the be all and end all of life was, what Swami wants me to do, I will do. So I was totally dedicated to Bhagwan, like, and whatever he said, I did it. And I did it well. I didn't do it like, though I didn't like law, I could have just, you know, read it for the sake like he did it, ATKT. No, but if you told me to do something, then I must do it well. So even if I have to work in the office or if I have to do any matter, I have to handle it, then I will do it well. So for me, it was like the master's word was the final. He was all for me.
Mm-hmm. Now, what advice would you give young, educated, professional women within the Sai family about prioritizing and balancing life?
If you do God's work, He'll do yours. Simple. You just have to do little. As I told you in the interview room, he told me, "Tum mera balvika chalati, main itna nahi kar sakta hu."
Let me translate it for the sake of our listeners. He told you that you
run my balvikas for me in Bombay. Can I not do this much for you?
This little bit. That included a beautiful wedding.
I mean, that included giving everything from a sari, from to the house, to everything possible. Jewelry, each item of jewelry, he took out and put it on me, as if like, I mean, the head of the family. So wasn't that enough for me? Do I need anything more? Then I'd be greedy.
Of course.
So and I tell everybody, I mean, the flicker, I have to think that I want a lipstick. I mean, this is a mundane thing like that.
Yeah.
Or a nail polish. And lo and behold, that evening somebody will come and give you that thing.
Mm.
I mean, such mundane things he satisfies. So if you do his work, he will do yours. Simple as that. Just dedicate. And I'm not telling you to do everything. I'm not telling you to do bhajan and seva and take one seva activity. Whatever suits your aptitude in life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't, like, for example, you tell me to do medical, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. At the moment I see an injection, I'll collapse.
Yes.
But do something which you like to
do.
You
can do well also.
And do well.
Yeah.
And do it as if this is your last time you're going to do it. So you may never have a tomorrow. So do it to the best of your ability. And if you do that, God will help. This is a simple thing. Do His work, He'll do your work.
Excellent advice. I can absolutely relate to that. That's wonderful. Thank you. Mr. Pandey, from the vantage point that you occupy, where do you see the Sai mission headed, especially since you are the National Vice President of the Sri Satya Sai Seva organization?
I see it very positively, and I see a great hope, because I do believe that the Satya Sai Seva organization is a very unique organization.
Mm-hmm.
It is unique in many, many ways, in the sense that, first of all, it is a self-generating, energizing organization.
How do you mean?
It is born in the sense that it is constituted of people out of love for Swami.
I see.
There is no enlistment of any kind. There is no force of any kind. There is no recruitment of any kind. It is a body of willing people who are coming together for the love of Sai. It is a body of willing people who are coming together to experience the love of Sai. It's a body of willing people who are coming together to put into practice what Swami wants us to practice. It's a body of willing people who are convinced that Bhagwan is the master, he is the symbol of the ultimate divinity. And it's a body of willing people who are bold enough to put into practice and become examples for other people of what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
When then there is such a unique body of people, there is no downside to it. There is no going back on this. It can only grow further. It can never go less. Because this body of people throughout the world are at their own level, wherever they are, wherever they are situated, are fountains of divine love themselves. Okay? The other uniqueness of this body is that though we have rules and regulations, they are not dependent on these rules and regulations. Because a man who has been touched with Swami's love and wants to share love will share his love wherever he is and whatever he is doing. And therefore that's a very unique situation. What I believe is that millions of people all over the world are like dots which Swami has already put.
Mm-hmm.
What we are now doing is joining all these dots together to realize what Swami has already done.
Mm-hmm.
The picture that Swami has painted of love and peace in the world will become apparent if we join all these dots all over the world where Swami has touched. If you take from age 14 till the age that he left his mortal coil, millions of people who have gone back having touched his love and carried his love are spread all over the world.
Very true.
And they're all there doing it. And we see this as we travel around the world, that at the grassroots level, the devotee, the man, the woman, the child, the youth, the girl, the boy, are tremendously enthusiastic and bubbling with energy for doing something for Swami. Okay? What we need to do as an organization is to give them the channel to translate that love into action.
Action.
What the organization should do and is now doing is just to join these dots everywhere. Okay? And the moment we join these dots everywhere, you will find that Swami is prevalent throughout the cosmos and the face of this earth. The day, according to me, is not far when if we all together succeed in this exercise of joining hands all over the world, the golden era that Swami spoke of is already manifest there. It's there. In fact, I do believe, and I won't be wrong if I say, that the world today, if it is sustaining, it is sustaining because of this body of people who are at the grassroots level, on their locations, wherever they are located, are spreading Swami's love. For example, take a bhajan singer way back in Mexico, or a bhajan singer in Uttarakhand, or a bhajan singer in Kerala, or a Bal Vikas guru doing work. She's sincerely doing her work.
Yeah. And she has a direct contact with Swami.
And she's a direct contact with Swami.
That is very unique,
that's
I think.
Important.
And the uniqueness of the Sai Avatar is that he is here on a one-to-one contact with everybody. He doesn't need the organization. And the biggest relief for the organization, the biggest advantage the organization has is that it's a facilitator.
Yeah.
It is not the source, it's a facilitator. The source is Swami, the recipient is the individual.
Well,
and the organization is only a facilitator to enhance the love of Swami and that individual into blossoming into a flower.
Yes.
Now that is the vision that the Sai organization has and must have and must continue to have this situation. It's the uniqueness of the Sai Avatar, and Swami always said that I don't need the organization. I have given you the organization as a platform use it to strengthen your one-to-one relationship with me.
Yeah, true.
Therefore, this is a very clear vision of the Sai organization, that we are only a platform, we are a facilitator, where each individual can come, practice, and strengthen his individual bond with Swami. And that, as I mentioned earlier, that Swami resides inside, Swami doesn't reside out.
Mr. Pandey, you're a great proponent of youth power, Generation Next. What mechanisms has the organization put into place to ensure that we can attract the youth and have an easy transition going forward?
I will tell you that the organization recently had a retreat in Bangalore on the 1st of April, where for the first time, I think the All India President, Mr. Srinivasan, also initiated the whole situation, that we gave the youth an opportunity to come forward and make their presentations on the various dimensions of the organization as to what they feel about the organization, what they believe the bhajan should be like, what they believe the balvika should be like, what they believe the seva dimension should be like, what they believe should be the ethos of the organization. And this exercise was a wonderful exercise that we had. And it was at that point of time, and I think I had an occasion to speak to you earlier also, that I found that those 200 youth who participated in this situation had a thorough, in-depth understanding of what Swami expected out of them. In fact, far better than what we elders have today.
So that's a great vote of confidence you have in the youth.
Absolutely.
But what is the mechanism to ensure that these ideas, proposals, they get translated into reality and there are greater leadership roles for the next generation?
Correct. We are thinking the thing that we have a 3-year now before we celebrate the 50th year of the Sai organization.
Which is coming up in?
2015.
And I think by that time, at least I personally do believe, and I am committed to doing my part to that, is that all throughout, I would wish the younger people take mantle and take responsibility of the Sai organization. They are ready for it, according to me. It's just that as elders, we'll have to be bold enough, we'll have to be brave enough to hand over that charge to as much as we can to the younger generation in that situation. At my level and at the level of the organization, currently we are traveling all over the country. And I am talking to a lot of youth, interacting with them, and I am motivating them because, you see, what has happened is that the youth have the enthusiasm, they have the great vision, but they're all, times are difficult, lives are difficult. Each one has his own status to achieve in society. So I want to give them a transition period of 3-4 years by the time they settle down in their lives and slowly at the same time take up responsibility. Now this is being achieved in 2-3 ways. At the national organization, we are now, as a matter of policy, we are promoting the youth to take up posts of district presidents at the district levels. We are motivating youth to take up the spiritual dimensions of the activities, the Bal Vikas dimension activities. And in fact, at many, many places, many ex-students of Swami's University, many Bal Vikas students have taken up posts at the grassroots level, where there are many district presidents, there are Bal Vikas coordinators, there are Bal Vikas gurus. That's what's happening. In Maharashtra also, we have now taken up a strategy that we created a subcommittee in my trust of 7 of the alumni of the university to become a subcommittee with a vision. Then the next 3 years, these 7 alumni who are bound, they would take over the trust as trustees and they would run the trust in the next 3 years.
In Maharashtra.
Similarly, I'm motivated, now that I'm in charge of certain states, I'm motivating the youth in these states to also take up the post, get into the internship mode as far as the running of these trusts are concerned, understanding what Swami's expectations were out of these things, so that that can be taken over by them. So, the biggest thing now is that we are mentally open to the fact, mentally accepting the fact that the youth must take over. And it is the right time to hand over the baton to the next generation, because they are more than prepared than what we thought they were. Mm-hmm. And that's my conviction.
It's a good one. Let's pray to Swami it comes through. My final question to both of you is, and we will start with you so that the lady has the final word.
Final say, my God.
Yes. So in light of your joint involvement and commitment over the decades of living, breathing, serving Swami, how would you like history to remember you?
I tell you, it was way back in 1981, the first year after marriage. 83. The privilege of forgetting wedding dates is only with husbands, I suppose. We didn't go for a honeymoon. We went to Goa.
You attempted going to Rameshwaram. That didn't work out very well.
So, but before that, I had gone to Goa and that also didn't work out. Because there also I got fired for that. But there was a message there which I want to answer your question. Went to Goa and came back. And naturally, if you go to Goa, you go to the sea, you swim, you have a lovely time and you come back. But the moment I came back in the interview room, I was immediately called for interview and my parents were sitting there. So I was a little surprised, the parents are already in the interview room and I've been summoned in. Kamala and I both went inside and we'll come back after a lovely time in Goa. So we thought good things will happen, so there'll be something nice things will happen, but it didn't work that way. It was like hell broke loose inside again. And Swami started the entire Goa trip like a video film. Every word, every talk, every dress that we wore, every shirt, pant that I wore, and how I went to the sea to swim and everything happened and how I fought and what was the room in the hotel where I was staying. Everything came like a video and became so personal at one point of time that I had to touch Swami's feet and tell him, Swami, please talk. My parents are sitting there. I'm embarrassed. So what do you think, Swami? Swami is everywhere. Swami is with you inside, you outside. You mean to say Swami is not on your bed in your bedroom? Swami is right there in the bedroom. Now this was like a jolt for me still because it was actually happening. The whole thing was being narrated like a film, like my brother shooting my film and relaying it, it was like that. Then he said a lovely thing. He says, Dekho, tum husband wife, Swami ka instrument hai. You husband wife are like Swami's instruments. There'll be a time when you will walk and people will say, look, Swami's people are going. Then how you dress, how you talk, how you walk will be determining what people think about Swami. And remember that you are Swami's instrument. Answering your question up front, all I want is that I wish that I pass a test that I have been a good instrument of Swami and the world can remember me with Swami's grace. If I have done my job well, I like to be remembered as a good instrument that Swami created.
That's a wonderful aspiration. How about yourself?
I'd like to be what Swami said, a part of the ideal couple. He had also said that time, people will see you and say, what an ideal couple. Mm. So I hope we can live up to that.
Beautiful. Great role models. Well, Sister Kamala Pandya and Brother Nimish Pandya, we deeply appreciate your time at Radio Sai and for being so upfront, honest and candid and sharing your love for Swami with all our listeners. I'm sure what you said to us is going to touch a lot of people very deeply. Thank you so very much.
Thank you very Sairam. Much. And let Swami bless all of us. Thank you.
Sairam.
Sai Ram, you just heard the concluding part of a three-part conversation with Mrs. Kamala Pandya and Nimish Pandya from Mumbai. This was recorded in the studios of Radio Sai on August 2012, and in conversation with them was Radio Sai's Karuna Munshi. In case you have missed previous parts of this conversation, you can download it and listen to it at your leisure by visiting the site radiosai.org/Trist, that is T-R-Y-S-T, Trist. We hope you enjoyed this program. Your comments and feedbacks on this are welcome. As always, you can reach us through email. Our email ID is listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram from Prashanthinilayam.